This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Shady's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, which team could potentially end Clemson's home winning streak this year? Get to that on the Morrow Midday Show. Plus, we have our taste test coming up in just a little bit. We will help you decide if there's a new healthy alternative to Coca-Cola. Maybe you've been drinking too much soda, you're trying to cut down on the sugar. Don't worry, we got the solution for you. But we have to try it out first. Coming up a little bit later on this hour. Hey, don't forget, coming up this Thursday in 2 days, you can join the Gamecock Club for the Charleston County Welcome Home Tour, featuring the men's basketball coach Lamont Paris, as well as the football coach Shane Beamer, for exclusive Gamecock athletic updates, a Q&A session, autographs, and more. Coming up this Thursday, 2 days from now, the Porter Room at Holy City Brewing Company. Doors open at 6 p.m. Tickets are $40 for adults, $15 for kids 12 and under. Tickets include food provided by Kickin' Chicken, and a cash bar is available. This Thursday night, the Porter Room at Holy City Brewing Company. Doors open at 6 p.m. Go join the Gamecock Club for the Charleston County Welcome Home Tour with Lamont Paris and Shane Beamer. It was a good day. What was that, Sunday? Gamecocks got like four commits. Clemson added a couple more this week. Clemson right now has the eighth best recruiting class in the country for next year. Part of that maybe because of the number of guys they already have. Told you, right? Not a bad thing to start having guys come on campus for official visits here in the summer. So both Clemson and South Carolina having good weeks right now in recruiting for the 2023 class. We'll have our taste test coming up where it's a TikTok trend. So, of course, you know, if it's on TikTok, we got to do it. Where it's supposed to be a healthy alternative to Coca-Cola. And it is sparkling water and balsamic vinegar.
Right, right. Doesn't sound, you know, pleasing from the get-go, Luke. It doesn't sound like it's going to be good, in my opinion.
I am, I guess you could say, open-minded. I am looking forward to giving it a try. And I think that it has a chance to maybe not be good, but not be terrible. At least that's my hope. I guess that's what I'm hoping for. I don't think it's going to taste. The idea, for those unfamiliar, and we talked about this last week, it's supposed to be a healthy alternative. A woman was the first one to do the video on TikTok, and she said she was told to do it from her Pilates instructor. And it's supposed to taste exactly like Coca-Cola, but be a lot healthier.
Yeah, see, and I did some research last night. I was watching some reaction videos to, you know, trying this new trend, if you will. And some of them didn't go over very well. So I'm excited to see how we all react, because Bobby Harden will be joining us in here to taste test it. So I'm just curious to see how it goes. And if any of us get sick, quite honestly, we'll have to see.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so that'll be coming up in just a little bit. And hopefully everything will go okay. Yeah, just take a sip. That's all. You just got to get... Just swish it around in your mouth a little bit and let's see how it tastes.
Yeah, spin it around like wine. Make sure it gets back teeth, front teeth, the whole thing.
And you could try it at home as well. Balsamic vinegar and some sparkling water. So we're locked and loaded, ready to go. We'll do it in just a little bit. Before we get there, Clemson and their home schedule this year. Friend of the show, Brad Crawford, put out his list of 10, call them bold, predictions for the upcoming college football season. One of them is that NC State will end Clemson's home winning streak when these two play on October 1st. Clemson has won 34 straight at home. He believes NC State will end that streak. We'll come back to that in a moment and do a little bit of a dive into that question or idea. But just to give you the list in case you're curious, his other predictions for this fall are that Houston will enter November undefeated. Utah will win the Pac-12 and reach the college football playoff. Michigan State will actually finish only fourth in their division in the Big Ten. Scott Frost and Nebraska will beat Oklahoma and begin the year 5-0. Lincoln Riley will make the biggest first-year splash. Tennessee's quarterback Hendon Hooker will set multiple passing records. And Will Anderson, Dallas Turner will combine for over 30 sacks for the Alabama defense. Texas will win its first Big 12 title since 2009. Everybody's on Texas this year. People will be asking once again, is Texas finally back? And Ohio State will sweep the end-of-the-year accolades. Now, that's a bit bold. Well, let me see. He's talking about Heisman, National Coach of the Year, and National Champion. So, yeah, that is a bit bold, but to be able to do all three. But he thinks Ohio State will win the National Championship, Ryan Day will be the Coach of the Year, and C.J. Stroud will win Heisman this year. Those are the 10 predictions for the upcoming football season from Brad Crawford. Now, let's circle back to the first one I mentioned and zero in on that a little bit. The idea that NC State will end Clemson's home winning streak. They've won 34 straight. Let's look at Clemson's home schedule this year, see who may have the best chance of trying to do such a thing. They begin at home with Furman. Obviously, that will be a win. The next week, they get Louisiana Tech at home. That should certainly be a win. Then their first conference game at home is that game against NC State on October 1st. After that, in the ACC, they welcome in Syracuse at home, and then Louisville, and then Miami, and then South Carolina. So Gamecock fans may be saying, hey, we're going to be the ones. On November 26th, at the end of the year, we'll be the ones that end that winning streak if somebody else hasn't. But I don't think South Carolina will. And they were beat 30-0 last year at their place. And I know you're adding Spencer Rattler to the mix. I don't think he's 30 points better. So I don't think South Carolina will end the winning streak for Clemson or their own losing streak against Clemson in that final matchup of the season. I also think Syracuse will be pretty bad once again this year. And while I would give Louisville, you know, a fighter's chance, I think Louisville could be intriguing this year. I don't think they would be the team to knock off Clemson either when they take them on in the middle of November. I think it comes down to the two toughest home games for Clemson. NC State October 1st and Miami November 19th. The first conference game at home and the final conference game at home. I also think these are the two best teams in the ACC not named Clemson. NC State and Miami. So maybe you could see why I feel those are the two toughest tests at home for Clemson this season. Which one of those stand the better chance? Now, NC State is facing Clemson before Miami. So if we had Brad Crawford on the line right now, I could ask, right, if he thinks Miami has a chance. I don't know. Maybe it's just because NC State faces them first. Or does he give NC State a better chance to actually beat Clemson more so than Miami? When I look at these two matchups, I see pros for both teams, right? For NC State, they face Clemson earlier in the year, and I think that's a benefit for NC State on both sides of the matchup. It's the first conference game at home for Clemson. It's the start of October. It's early in the season. Now, we saw last year, even when Clemson wasn't at its best, they still got better as the year went on. And I always say, week one's the biggest toss-up. And I'd rather face a team early in the year when you try to sneak up on them, when you try to catch them before they're in mid-season form than towards the end of the year. Yeah, sure, by the end of the year, they may be worn out a little bit. They may be more beat up, more injured by then. But they're also probably, if they're well-coached, a more well-oiled machine. We saw South Carolina get better as last year went on. That's a promising sign for the coaching staff and for the program moving forward. You want to see that improvement. Most teams, good teams, get better as the year moves forward. So if I'm NC State, I get Clemson early. A month into the season, their first conference game at home, first real true test, right? They start Georgia Tech, Furman, Louisiana Tech. Those are a bunch of cupcakes. NC State will be the first test. I want to be the first test. You want to get them right away. Not only that, but for NC State, I think they could have an advantage early in the year because they are the most experienced team in the conference. They're bringing back almost their entire defense. Coaching staff has been there a long time. Quarterback's coming back. They have more continuity than any team in the ACC. So I think that gives NC State a leg up early in the year because you would imagine they could get into midseason form a little bit quicker. Because a lot of guys are coming back, veteran guys, same system. They're playing in the same system, right? Same coaches. You're just trying to run it back from last year. For Clemson, you're breaking in a couple of new coordinators. We'll see about the quarterback position by the time we reach October. And even we saw last year, right, slow start, got better as the year went on. So I think for NC State, it's an advantage to get Clemson earlier in the year. I think that's an advantage for NC State. Additionally, when you look at the schedule, Clemson will be coming off their game against Wake Forest. I don't know if that'll be that tough of a game. You'd like to think so. Wake Forest was in the ACC title game last year. But nonetheless, Clemson will face Wake Forest on the road the week before NC State. So you do get them coming off the road against Wake. Wake obviously had a prolific offense last year. Maybe they could try to challenge the Clemson defense a little bit. And then NC State, you get them the following week. Maybe that's to your advantage. Additionally, we saw what happened last year when these two played. So if NC State, granted that was at home, but you know if you could beat them last year, maybe you at least have the confidence you could do it again this year. And I also just think NC State's the second-best team in the ACC behind Clemson. They had the second-best defense last year behind Clemson. So I don't know if they can match Clemson necessarily punch for punch, but they have the pieces to try to hang in there. They may be the toughest matchup in the conference for Clemson because their defense is right behind Clemson. I think NC State has the better quarterback. Dave Doran has been a thorn in the side of Dabo and Clemson. They have an experienced coaching staff. They had the second-best record behind Clemson last year. At times in the past, they've given Clemson all they could handle, beat them last year. So I think there's plenty of reasons why NC State feels like they could come to the Palmetto State and beat Clemson there October 1st. Now, when it comes to Miami, they get Clemson later in the year. It's the penultimate game of the season. It's the final conference game for both teams. This will be the matchup in November. It'll be really intriguing. I think the Clemson-NC State game will be the most important for their division in the ACC. I think Miami, maybe when they play UNC, which is actually the following week, October 8th, maybe that will be the most important game in the Coastal. We'll see. But Miami and NC State, to me, are the two best teams in the ACC behind Clemson, so I think they pose the biggest threats. When it comes to Miami, like I said, they get Clemson at the end of the year. Maybe that's bad news for Miami because Clemson, like a good team, you figure they get better as the year goes on. However, I'd also say for Miami, they're breaking in a new coaching staff. So if you are the Hurricanes, maybe you'd rather face Clemson towards the end of the year when you are a well-oiled machine instead of still trying to figure your way through some things. A system change, new coaches, new style. You know, it's like I always say in baseball, a manager will always tell you it takes about a third of the season to figure out their bullpen. It takes them a while. Regardless of spring training and the offseason, even for college program, it takes you about 2 months to figure out, okay, this is when I could use this guy. This is when I could use that guy. So for a new coach coming in to football, even though you have the whole offseason, right, there's no preseason in college football, so you're still trying to figure some things out as the games go on. Maybe by Miami, with the coaching changes, they rather face Clemson later in the year. They rather have their tougher tests later in the year when they feel like they'll be better prepared. NC State, they're probably the opposite. They want to face you early in the year because they're bringing everybody back. They don't need to wait till the end of the year. They'll be ready to go, ideally. Miami, let's wait. Let's push it off to the end of the year when we're more prepared. All right, so maybe it is better for Miami to face Clemson at the end of the year as opposed to the beginning. Additionally, we know Mario Cristobal is an offensive line guy. Oregon always had a good offensive line. He was the offensive line coach at Alabama. They had a good OL. Cristobal is an offensive guy, offensive line guy. So what's the strength of Clemson? Their defense. What's the strength of the defense? The defensive line. It very well may be the best defensive line in the country this year. But maybe Miami's offensive line will be able to handle it enough by year's end. Right, maybe Mario Cristobal will be one of the few coaches in the ACC that will be well prepared for that Clemson attack. Additionally, I think Miami's going to have a really good run game. I like both quarterbacks on NC State and Miami. People are talking about Miami's quarterback as a Heisman sleeper. And so if we get to the point here at the end of the year where he's in that Heisman conversation, that could be a tough test for Clemson. Maybe Van Dyke of Miami will be the toughest quarterback they face this year. Who knows? But additionally, I think Miami will have one of the better run games as well, which could help out their quarterback, which could be a reason why Van Dyke has potentially a really big year. So when it comes to this matchup with Clemson, again, maybe a strong offensive line to handle that defensive line and a run game too that could keep the ball in their possession a little bit longer, try to wear down that defense, find some space against that defense. Maybe this could be a tough matchup for that Clemson defense at the end of the year. Maybe they'll be a little bit more beaten up by then. Maybe a couple of guys won't be available by then. There's always injuries in a football season. And Miami will be tough in the trenches. Mario Cristobal's teams always are. They may not be the most talented defense. They may not always have the best quarterback. But you can always trust that if Mario Cristobal's your head coach, right, you'll be tough in the trenches. You'll have a run game. You'll have a good offensive line. You'll try to beat up the other team. And they take on the persona of their head coach. Those are the pros I see for these two teams. Now, Brad Crawford, as I said, in his bold predictions, thinks NC State wins. NC State is facing Clemson before Miami. If I had to make a choice and pick a team, maybe I would say NC State as well would be the team that could end that winning streak for Clemson. I don't know if any team will end it this year. I could see Clemson running the table at home just like they did last year, right? Even when they weren't at their best last year, still much tougher to beat at home. So I don't know if any team's going to do it this year, but I do think the best chances will be NC State and Miami, and that's my breakdown of where I look at the pros, what each team may have going for them. For NC State, the advantage may be that it is earlier in the year. They have last year's game to go off of, and they just have more experience. Miami, it's a first-year coach. It's a young quarterback who is in just his second year of playing, did not play the entirety of last season. NC State's a little bit more experienced. More experienced coaching staff, more continuity. Maybe that makes a difference in a big game like this against a team like Clemson. Those are definitely the two teams to watch, and you can make a pretty good case for both of them. Brad Crawford thinks NC State will be the one to snap the losing streak, which, by the way, would end it at, 36 straight home wins for Clemson. When we come back, it's time for our taste test. You know, yesterday we did our movie review of Hustle. It was a movie Monday on the Morrow Midday Show. Today we could call it a taste test Tuesday. We're going to try this new healthy alternative to Coca-Cola. It's all the rage on TikTok. And you know we love our TikTok around here, so we have to do it. Sparkling water and balsamic vinegar. And we'll try it out next to let you know how it is. Healthy Coca-Cola. Our taste test coming up next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. It's time for our taste test here on this Tuesday as we'll try the new healthy alternative to Coca-Cola. It's a sweeping the nation, this trend on TikTok. Good Morning America wrote about it. Thousands of curious creators on TikTok have turned to two simple ingredients to get a taste of the latest viral trend, healthy Coke, as they call it. And it's sparkling water and balsamic vinaigrette. We have our drinks poured for us. Bobby is with us.
Can I point out a couple of things here? First, you don't have any kind of recipe. You bought a flavored sparkling water.
Which is what it's supposed to.
It's supposed to be that flavor.
That exact flavor. I got the same brand and the same flavor.
All right.
It originally started some woman on TikTok. She said her Pilates instructor told her.
All right.
My mother's a Pilates instructor. She's never told me about this. And
mine didn't say a word.
And and I got the exact drink and the same brand for
the vinegar.
So we are good to go.
Right.
So just like the original. Now, a bunch of people have tried to duplicate this video, and they've done other things. They've used, like, Pellegrino and the generic brands of lime seltzer. But we have the official. It's guava-flavored LaCroix, is that how you say it?
LaCroix, yeah, or LaCroix, whatever you want to do.
Forgive me.
Whatever you want to do.
Oh, pardon. So we have the original recipe. Now, you brought up a fair point. We have no idea the ingredients in terms of how much you actually pour in of each.
Right.
But our bartender, Trent, he eyeballed it, figured it out, and we'll give it a go.
Everybody got a healthy pour of balsamic vinegar. I will say that. Healthy pours all around.
Okay.
So it's a guava-flavored LaCroix.
I have no desire in my life to replace Coca-Cola, by the way.
Do you drink Coca-Cola every day?
Every day.
So here, see? So
I don't drink coffee in the morning. I drink Coca-Cola in the morning.
We're doing this to try to help you, try to find a healthy alternative.
Been known to have a couple of Crown and Cokes.
Yes, of course.
Wait, really? I didn't realize that.
I know that's a shock. I consider myself a cola expert because I don't like Pepsi. I can tell the difference between
I agree.
A Pepsi and a Coca-Cola any day of the week.
Wow.
I agree. What about, are you into RC Cola at all?
No. That was when I was young.
Just strictly Coca-Cola.
Yeah, you can definitely tell. I have a Pepsi before I have an RC.
Ah.
And then that store-bought cola.
Yeah,
like the store brand.
Sam's Cola. Yeah. Dr.
Which
Thunder.
I have a feeling this is going to be worse.
I don't know.
Than that.
Than RC Cola? I don't know. All right. Let's first take a sniff before we take a sip.
It smells, mine smells strawberry-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting that as well.
Doesn't smell like Coke. It looks like Coca-Cola in the cup.
It does look like Coca-Cola.
Doesn't smell like it at all. It's guava flavored and vinegar. Are we ready to try it?
I'm ready.
All right, well, I'll take a sip at the same time, and we'll get the authentic reactions. The healthy Coke. Ugh.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Immediate reaction, Bobby. What do you think?
Awful. I mean, I don't know. Again, we don't know if we have the mixture right.
No.
Mine tastes very vinegary.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in that boat. Now, remember, Luke's got the Italian palate, so he's used to some, you know, vinegar every so often. So this might do. He might do better with this than you and I.
It's not good.
It tastes like vinegar. Smells like strawberry. Tastes like vinegar, and also tastes like something else that I can't say on the radio.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give it?
0.
0.
I give it a 2.
2.
Oh, come on. Well, you would drink this?
I mean, it's not like, I think if there was just plain seltzer and not the flavored seltzer with it, it would be absolutely abysmal. It would be like drinking straight balsamic vinegar. But there's a little bit of the hint of strawberry. So, yeah, I'll give it. This is better than some like hard seltzer brands out there. I'll tell you that right now.
It's not good.
No.
I'm disappointed. I was hoping, you know, I've cut out soda for my life. I'm trying to cut down sugar. I thought I found my new healthy Coca-Cola.
Right.
I don't think so. Didn't work.
We'll do some more research and find out. And we may have too much. I think we have too much vinegar in it.
Potentially. That could definitely be it.
That's what brings the Coca-Cola flavor.
But I saw some videos, people doing it, where they poured way more vinegar than we did, and they got a little sick after, just to say the least.
Oh, boy. Well, good thing Bobby doesn't have to be on the air for another 90 minutes.
Right. This is why I don't do Pilates, people.
Yeah.
You get bad advice from these people. They're awful human beings. Drink a Coke. Share a smile. Drink a Coke.
Yeah, you ever seen the polar bears? They have a good time. They drink Cokes. Come on now, fellas.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, the whole idea was try to get Bobby off of the Coca-Cola, but I guess that's not happening.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Well, I appreciate you at least giving it a try. Not as good as the Froze, huh?
Oh, Froze was awesome.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
All right, we'll get to Trent's
Take. We had a little crown in there. We could do
the real test.
Yeah.
That's
the real deal.
Somebody head to the Hartness State right now and grab a couple bottles.
You got 90 minutes.
All right.
You got time. All right, we'll get to Trent's Takes when we come back. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
But if you have a change of heart,
it's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We had our Movie Monday yesterday, breaking down Hustle. Today was our Taste Test Tuesday, where we tried the new healthy alternative version of Coca-Cola, which is spreading like wildfire on TikTok. It is guava sparkling water with a little balsamic vinegar mixed in there. And we did it last segment with Bobby. If you ever missed anything from the show, find it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. We'll get to Trent's Takes in just a moment. But first, your take now a few minutes removed.
Right.
Looking back, how do you feel now after having had that healthy, quote-unquote, healthy Coke?
I think the reaction videos that I saw outside the one woman who started it were probably fair with it. It's not good, folks. It's not good. I wouldn't recommend it. Now, you said your mother's a Pilates teacher, so that's potentially, you know, like maybe she's tried this before. I'm not sure. I don't understand how this mixture of things can taste anything like a normal Coca-Cola. It baffles me because, truly, there is nothing like on a hot summer day. I don't really drink soda anymore. You crack open a can of Coke, like, there's nothing better than that.
I agree. Like, I'm a beer drinker when it comes to, like, alcohol. But I'll tell you what, I almost prefer on a hot day, I almost prefer a cold soda over a cold beer.
Yeah.
So I'm with you there. When it's hot out, oh, yeah.
good old cold Coca-Cola. This will not be replacing it. Now, this whole trend started within like the last 10 days. Amanda Jones was the first one. She first shared a video and said this was a low-sugar alternative to Coca-Cola. She says, I should have said this, saw this before. She says only using a splash of balsamic vinegar. I think we used a little bit more of than a splash.
I did a, for you bartenders out there, I did a 1-2-3 type pour. So there you go.
I don't know if it would have made a difference, though.
No.
And she said, it's a healthy alternative to a Coke. Quote, I'm not joking you. It tastes just like a Coke. You're going to think I'm insane. I do think you're insane. That tastes nothing like Coca-Cola or any soda of its kind.
Yeah, you're a mad person.
Yeah, seriously. Have a regular Coke. By the way, TikTok star and self-proclaimed Diet Coke connoisseur, Tinks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know Tinks.
She shared her spin on the carbonated drink. She said it smelled rancid, but she tried it for science.
All right. Easy. Easy.
There's all sorts of details in this article from Good Morning America, breaking down different people doing it. As I said, some use Pellegrino, some use like different flavors, but the original one is the guava-flavored sparkling water and the balsamic vinegar that we used as well. I'm not going to – I know you said you saw some videos where people got sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to get – I mean, Bobby may be throwing up in the back right now. But I do like – feel it like sitting in my like stomach.
Yeah, it doesn't feel great.
No.
I don't feel great right now, but I don't think it'll get to that
right
point. But I don't want to put any like food in my system or anything because I feel like
it's just going to come back.
There's a lot of stuff going on in there right now.
I feel like I need to be burped right now. I don't think I'm going to yak, but I need to cleanse myself. I need a palate cleanser from this.
You'd hit the sauna after this, jeez.
Yeah. Sweat it out of your pores. The aftertaste was not great. Would I ever have it again? No. Was it the worst thing I've ever had? Unfortunately, no. But it wasn't good. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't good. I would never drink it again. And it's certainly not some sort of realistic alternative to any sort of soda.
Like I said, like there's some hard seltzer brands out there, you know, that because everybody's popping up with their own kind of hard seltzer. Some of them taste so bad that I would prefer that over some of these hard seltzers.
I'm also not a big guava guy.
No?
No. You a guava guy?
I don't mind it. I think it's a good flavor, but yeah. I wouldn't be like, you know what, I'm going to, you know, go to Whole Foods, spend $6 on one guava. Yeah, that just ain't my flow. But I enjoy a little. I'm a big LaCroix guy, as I told you, so I enjoy these.
Yeah, I'm not big on the guava. Get yourself a nice Yuritos guava. Eh, not really up my alley. All right, well, we did our taste test. I don't know if this will become a normal thing because I don't know how often I want to be trying nasty things on a Tuesday. But we'll see. We'll see what we could try next down the road at some point. We do it around this time each and every day. It's time to find out what's on the mind of the producer. Time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's
Panther.
Right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The Radio Cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, before I get into Jason Tatum, missing out on my 3-0 sweep would have been a 6-0 sweep in the last two games by a half a point. I would like to reiterate to you, sir, I need you to sit down. I need you to watch Peaky Blinders. And my pitch to you is that there are multiple Italian characters in there that I think you would really, really enjoy. Obviously, the Shelby family is from Birmingham, and they have enemies in Ireland, in America, in Italy, all these places, everywhere. And there are a couple characters in there that I think you either could relate with or pretty much enjoy, because I'm about to wrap up the final season of Peaky Blinders. I might cry tonight. Who knows? Ooh. There might be a tear or two, because it is my favorite show of all time.
Wow.
It's absolutely incredible. Season 6 did not disappoint, folks. You gotta start Peaky Blinders because this is the last season. They'll release a movie in a couple months that'll kind of tie everything together, and that'll be it. And then the Shelby family will be off of Netflix probably in a year and a half, 2 years, folks. Get your Netflix subscriptions. Lock in on it. It's a phenomenal cast. Cillian Murphy, in my opinion, Luke, might be a top 5 television character of all time. He is absolutely incredible as Tommy Shelby, the leader of this, Birmingham street gang that turns into one of the biggest companies, organizations that the world knows back between 1915 and 1940s that they go through. It's a very good show, Luke. I want you to hop on it because the Warriors going to wrap this up next game. There's no doubt about it. Start grinding on the Peaky Blinders. I need you, pal. I need you.
You've piqued my interest.
Yeah.
IMDb has it as 8.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes has Peaky Blinders as 94%.
Oof.
I've heard a lot of rage about it with the new season coming out from a lot of people and buddies of mine. So we'll see. You're piquing my interest. Maybe I'll give it a try at some point. I'll add it to the list. Long list of things I have to check out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, sometimes it gets difficult to understand what they're saying, especially especially Tom Hardy's character when he gets introduced as Alfie Solomon absolutely crushes it. But it's a star-studded cast. You look through and there's Oscar winners left and right in this TV show. It's unbelievable, Luke. Need you to watch it, pal. Now on to game five. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum absolutely ripped my heart out last night. I didn't take any of the points. I obviously been cheering for the Warriors because, like you, I said they'd win in six games. Been cheering for the Warriors. I feel like the Warriors are like my second team. I'm a diehard Miami Heat fan for life, but in my middle school to high school, like growing up and really truly sitting down and watching the NBA almost every night, it was the Warriors that was the dynasty of my era, if you will, when I was a younger kid. So I love the Warriors, and last night was a display of Steph Curry not being able to make any shots, but Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins stepping up when it matters most. That's how you know it's inexperience versus experience. That's it. The bottom line. I think the Boston Celtics team as a whole is a lot better than the Warriors if you just look at the roster and ages, especially because the Celtics are a little bit younger. I feel like we always forget that this team is one of the greatest dynasties the NBA has ever seen. I believe I saw something. Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson have now combined for the most finals wins in NBA history as a trio, which is incredibly phenomenal. I did not realize that they were on that path, but they have made it. They're here. It's experience versus inexperience. Even when Steph Curry has a down night, guys like Jordan Poole, thank you for hitting the over 12.5. And guys like, you know, Andrew Wiggins, like we saw, they just step up. Also, thank you to Al Horford for hitting two threes. Did it pretty early, too. The stroke looked good for Al. Again, but I'm cheering for the Warriors. What a great night. But I hate to keep harping on Jason Tatum here. And, you know, you do it. I do it. We all do it. I see what you see, Luke. I'm not seeing a superstar here. I'm seeing a guy who folds under pressure, who's not aggressive. His body, he should be able to if he's one-on-one isolation with anybody, Luke, especially his shooting ability, he should be able to make, you know, 50% of his shots. There's no doubt about it. He's 6'9". He's got the small waist, but the broad shoulders. That's what you want for a modern day NBA player. He's just not stepping up. So he's obviously going to get signed to a max deal in Boston. They're going to love him forever. But I'm not sure if Jason Tatum is the guy going forward for Boston to win you a championship. Maybe with more experience down the road. But again, he folds. Just like you were saying with Kobe. Kobe never folded in those big moments. Jason Tatum had 3 air balls last night. I mean, how can you say that this guy's a superstar when we've seen the playoff performance week in and week out? And also, I saw this morning, people were talking about Steph Curry not winning the finals MVP because of this game. Give it a rest. I mean, what are we doing? We're talking about legacy with a guy who's about to win his 4th championship, greatest shooter of all times, broke every 3-point record there is known to man, and we're talking about him in a light, well, he doesn't have finals MVP, so we can't put him on the Pantheon. We can't put him in the top 10. Absolutely ridiculous. He's going to win the finals MVP, and he sneaks in. He definitely is in my top 10 now, but it's going to be hard to not chisel another Mount Rushmore head with Steph Curry on there after this 4th championship.
Yeah, I agree. I think if Wiggins played the entire series like he has the last 2 games, we could have an interesting debate about Wiggins or Curry. Mm. But otherwise, Curry is the MVP. He's been the best player in the series. He was bad last night. I don't think he'll be that bad in the next game, and I think you're allowed one bad game. And I think back to the aforementioned Kobe Bryant. In, I think it was 2010, he won the finals MVP. He was terrible in Game 7. Ron Artest saved the day. But he still was the finals MVP because he was the best player for the entirety of the series, even with one bad performance. So I think it's similar for Curry. I think Curry will play better in Game 6, and you'll say, yeah, he wasn't very good in Game 5. Wiggins was better. But over the entirety of the series, Curry's the guy. So Curry, to me, is still the finals MVP. I don't think he needed that to try to prove himself, but maybe that's that last box to check that the doubt, you know, what more can the Curry haters say at this point if he wins the finals MVP this week when they finish off another series?
I feel like the Curry haters are always going to be out there, but he's gotten a lot, in my eyes at least, he's gotten a lot more likable. Obviously, he was the darling, the golden boy. His daughter would be at the press conferences. It was so cute and everything. It was Steph Curry. You know, he's the babyface assassin. Now we see fire out of Steph. I know not in Game 5, but if you look at 1-4, he's fiery. He's ready to go. He's screaming. He's yelling at his teammates. That's the heart of a champion right there. That's guys we think about with Michael Jordan and Kobe and LeBron, where they're so fiery just to win. And I think we're going to see that with Steph. I'm really sick of the slander because, I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time, and there is no doubt about it whatsoever. Luke, I have maybe some news, maybe some breaking news, potentially. I did a little research this morning because I was curious about our friend Odell Beckham Jr. I love Odell. I think he's one of the best receivers in the NFL when he's healthy. There's no doubt. We saw that last season. He, you know, scored the first touchdown in the Super Bowl. Was probably going to be the Super Bowl MVP if he would have stayed in that game healthy because they were double-teaming Cooper Kupp all day long. Now, yesterday, Joe Burrow posted on his Instagram and said, and I quote, "My spidey senses are starting to tingle a little bit," okay, with the eyeball emoji. Mm-hmm. Let's remember that. The eyeball emoji is very, very important. Jamar Chase then commented on the post with the emoji with the finger over the mouth, implying that, hey, keep a secret. Let's keep it down. And you know who commented on that post? None other than Odell Beckham Jr. and said, "You are the one," end quote. Is Odell Beckham going to be a Cincinnati Bengal, Luke? Can they get him on the roster? Because we know they don't like spending money. They've spent money on free agents before. But think about that roster with Jamar Chase, LSU, Joe Burrow, LSU. The left tackle is from LSU. And now adding Odell Beckham, a full LSU staff. Could this happen, Luke? And do you think he could make an impact on that Bengals offense if he was a receiver? Because right now, I mean, you got to think, what would Odell be? Jamar is obviously the one. T. Higgins probably the two, and then Odell would be the three with Tyler Boyd, kind of a three and four. He would be the third, you know, option on the team, but still, I mean, adding a guy like that, if he's healthy, Bengals are going on another run, it feels like.
Yeah, it would be a lot like what he was doing with the Rams. Yeah. He would, you know, you have your Cooper Kupp, you don't need OBJ to be the star, and this goes back to, again, the whole Wiggins thing from earlier today where if a guy isn't asked to do as much, they could flourish even more. And OBJ did in L.A. He looked a little washed before he got to the Rams and then played big for the Rams. And the other thing, too, of course, is Zach Taylor comes from the McVay coaching tree. So similar offense style, similar role. It'd be a good fit. Obviously, another weapon for Joe Burrow and that intriguing offense in Cincinnati. They have the 11th most cap space. I think that'd probably be a good match. And this is fascinating. I'm curious what they were talking about. And this, if this does come to fruition, I want everybody, I want the Schefters of the world, everybody to credit Trent of the Morrow Midday Show for having it first, cracking the case on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, that's just investigative reporting, Luke. That's just what you got to do for Trent's takes. I try to find the dirt, try to find the glue, you know what I'm saying, see what's going on. And I'm a big Odell Beckham fan and kind of a big Bengals fan, too, now with this team. I absolutely love watching them play, so I'd like to see them continue to have success, especially with a quarterback like Joe Burrow. Last thing here, U.S. Open coming up this weekend. A lot of controversy, obviously, with the LIV Golf and everything. Personally, I'm kind of sick of hearing about it, but I'll throw out two numbers for you, Luke. Plus 4,400 and plus 22,000. Dustin Johnson plus 4,400 and Phil Mickelson plus 22,000. All I'm saying, folks, this would be a phenomenal weekend if one of the LIV Golf guys came into the U.S. Open and won the whole damn thing. I would personally say that it would be Dustin Johnson. That plus 4,400 does not look bad whatsoever. I'm going to be cheering for these guys. I'm cheering everybody out there, no doubt about it. But I hope there is fireworks for the next, you know, 6 days that we're going to get this because the media availability starts tomorrow. Uh-huh. First press conference, Phil Mickelson.
Wow.
Here we go, folks. I'm so pumped. So pumped.
Yeah, this could be a lot of fun. It's like way back in the day, you used to take like the national champion or even like the champion in the NFL, right? You'd have two champions of two different leagues face one another. Way back when, instead of like all-star games, it's going to be similar here. I know these guys were just part of the PGA Tour. They've been playing with one another for years. But, yeah, they're looking like, you know, they're the they crossed the picket line almost, like back with the replacement players. And now they're all coming together for a big event this weekend on the opposite sides of the aisle. We've had a little bit of a sparring of words, a little bit, from some of the guys not happy with those that have left. By the way, did you see Mickelson's press conference yesterday or hear any of the audio?
I heard some of it. Yeah, I mean, he's just not doing himself any favors.
No, and I was always a Mickelson guy, and even, look, I've defended these guys a little bit in terms of taking the money. It's hard to turn down this amount of money. But still, Mickelson, whenever he's opened his mouth the last few months, he's just put his foot in it. And I heard some of the audio from yesterday, and I didn't really like it. I mean, a woman was asking about 9/11, and he cut her off, and so, like, is there a question in this? I know she's going on, and Mickelson probably doesn't like what she's insinuating, but we're talking about September 11th, and I don't know. I just thought it was kind of insensitive. He's was talking about, I'm empathetic towards those, but, you know, but we're trying to help the golf game. Eh. I didn't really like some of the things Mickelson said yesterday. And I used to be a Mickelson guy.
Yeah, the hefty lefty. I mean, I loved Phil Mickelson back in the day, but now it's – I mean, look, and I've always been on the side of I'm not going to harp on any of these guys for wanting to go get money. I mean, go make as much money as you can. Can't play the game forever, especially in the NFL. I always say that. Go get as much money as you can because you can't play forever. But now with Phil, it's like maybe just don't answer or say no comment or something, or just admit that, yeah, they gave me $200 million. I'd be a fool if I didn't take that. And a lot of people in the PGA, if they looked at Rory McIlroy, and I know he's got the allegiance to the PGA, and he's been really, you know, digging on the LIV Golf guys, they give you $500 million. What are you going to do if you can still play in the majors? Like, that's my thing on this.
Yeah, I just don't like – we all know what it is.
Right.
I just wish these guys would sit up there and yeah, just simply say that. Phil Mickelson could say, like, hey, September 11th was an awful tragedy. I don't like the role they played, yada, 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 but they paid me $200 million, and that's what it comes down to. Just be, like, up front instead of trying to take us all for fools. I think it makes yourself look worse. Anyways, we'll talk more about that, of course, tomorrow with Jeremy Schilling, who joins us every Wednesday to talk golf. When we come back, a Charlotte Hornet was caught, I guess you could say, riding dirty yesterday. We'll get to that. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll get to back to the NBA Finals coming up at the top of the hour. But did you see the story that Montrezl Harrell of the Hornets, although I think he's a free agent this offseason. I don't know if he's technically a free agent yet. We have to wait till the offseason officially begins after the finals, but I believe he's going to be a free agent. He just got busted. He got arrested for having 3 pounds of weed in vacuum-sealed bags in his car. Now, because they're vacuum-sealed, I guess that's the idea is that one person driving around with 3 pounds in vacuum-sealed bags, the idea is that, you know, it's to be delivered, intent to deliver. And so that's why they slap like a, almost like a trafficking violation, and it becomes like a felon. He could face up to 5 years. But my main takeaway is being, number one, he's made $35 million in his NBA career. I would hope he's not involved in some sort of, drug sales, because that's not worth it. That's not necessary. He's made $35 million. But number two, he got pulled over because he was tailgating somebody, and then they found the weed in the car. That has to be the weakest offense, the weakest thing to get pulled over for. And I'm saying this from Harold's perspective, not from the cops for pulling him over. What are you doing if you got 3 pounds of weed in the car? What are you doing tailgating somebody? I guess he was in a rush to maybe unload it. I don't know. Don't drive on someone's ass when you got weed in the car like that and give them a reason to pull you over. They pull him over for tailgating. They find all the marijuana, and he gets arrested yesterday. What are you doing? You got to keep that the 3-second rule. You got to keep enough space. Tailgating somebody, that's why you got pulled over. At least be speeding, right? At least give them a good reason to pull you over. Tailgating. We'll see what happens with Harrell here moving forward. Hour 3 coming up next. We'll get back to the NBA Finals.